Hi, friends. How are you?
Great.
Fantastic. Great. Hey, let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. And we are going to open up the scriptures again to Matthew chapter 14. We'll read verses 22 to 36. And I want to remind you that, in case you missed it last week, we have changed scripture versions to the English Standard Version. There are a number of reasons we did this, but I think you get a better translation reading. It's closer to the original meaning. And want to encourage you that if you want an English Standard Version for yourself, our friend John Smithson, who's part of our community here, is going to be in the front after worship selling those. He also has his own Christian bookstore called the Christian Book Nook. Want to encourage you to head down there and check it out sometime. It's great. You got that. You got like bakery. You got Sunergoss all right there, so you can make it a really good morning. But let's go ahead and open up the scriptures together. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Awesome. Now, before we get going this morning, I need to share with you another important announcement. Our text-in number has changed to 502-804-1278. You can send messages to the old one, but now it talks back because evidently they gave our number to somebody else. And about a week or two ago, somebody used that number, and they were asking for money and all kinds of other things in reply. So I want to encourage you not so much to use the old number, unless you're feeling giving, or use the new number. That's really the way to go. So 804-1278. I know a lot of you keep that in your contacts, and you'll want to change that. But we all have storms, and I have shared with you about my health storm of 2017 and being diagnosed with GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. It is a blast. What does it mean? You know, I don't think we really know what it means. It means I got to change my diet and take some pills, and every once in a while you have a bad day, so you really got to watch what you eat. But I'm sure glad I didn't have heart problems out of it, so I'll take it. Your storm, it might be different. Could be your health, could be your finances, could be your marriage, could be things around your house, could be things at work. We all have storms. They come in a variety of different kinds, and storms are these moments where we feel like our control is completely gone. It is not fun. Is anybody with me? Yeah. You know, sometimes we forget this isn't our world. We use that phrase a lot in our culture. Have you noticed that? Our world. It's not our world. This world was created good. It's fallen because of sin, and that's the same as us. We were created good, but fallen because of sin, and this wreaks havoc in the world every day. If you want to read about it, the first three chapters of the scriptures, Genesis chapters 1 through 3, this tells us the story. It's kind of like, here's the Cliff Notes version of how we got the way that we are. And this is the reason for the struggles. We want it to be islands of candy, red balloon, and unicorns, and that's just not the world that we live in, brothers and sisters. We were created for relationship, to love God, to love other people, but sometimes sin sure gets in the way, and sometimes it's not of our own doing. The world, it's not under our control, and that's why storms come. And whether it's our circumstances or our shaping of these storms or other people who hurt us that shape these storms, or the very fact that sometimes random chaotic bad things happen, the storms come, because the world is not under our control as much as we would love for it to be. And that's why we need Jesus Christ. And that's why we cry out in the midst of the storm, Lord, save us. Now, the disciples started this journey through the storm by Jesus making them get in the boat to head to the other side. And they fought all night. They thought Jesus was a ghost. And Peter walked on the water and sank and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus lifted him out of the water. And watch what happens next. It said this morning, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Wow. That's the part that we miss. That's the part that we miss. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the storm dies down. That's the part that we all want to hear about. But the part we miss is this. I mean, this is everything. The creatures glorify the Creator. They give him worship. At the beginning of the passage, Jesus is with the Father on the mountaintop. At the end of the passage, Jesus is with the disciples down in the boat. Do we have a God who wants to come and be with us or what? I mean, this is why we gather here this morning. Because we have a God who wants to come and be with us. And as God comes and is present with us, we worship him. We give him honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving, whether we're in a storm or not in a storm. See, brothers and sisters, after you fought the waves and the wind and the rain and the storm all night till 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, after you've walked on the water and sank and Jesus pulls you out of it, when the storm comes to an end, we worship God for who he is and what he's done. Jesus, thank you. This is why we gather the first day of the week. Your Outlook calendar might say Sunday's the last day of the week. It got it wrong. Sunday's the first day of the week, and on the first day of the week, the first thing that we do, we start the week off by giving God our worship. It kind of sets the tone for the whole week of who's going to be first place in our lives. Now, does this mean that we're not going to have other storms? No way. You know better than that. This is an AP crowd. Does that mean that all the pain and the fear are immediately gone? Nope. Does it mean there won't be any lingering effects? Not a chance. But when God calms the storm, when God is bigger, when we give him our worship, when we give him honor and glory and realize that he is the one who has power over our storms, when God is the focal point, no matter what kind of storm you're in, although everything will rage and you will feel anxious and fearful and everything else, you will still have peace. You'll still have peace. Worship, brothers and sisters, puts everything in creation back under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Worship is saying, I'm not God and you are. And when we sing these songs, we don't sing these songs so we feel good. We sing these songs because God is good. And it doesn't matter whether you like the song or don't like the song. God is still good either way, yes? I mean, there is a movement in this scripture that teaches us about worship. Do you hear it? Let's stand and sing together. Put the coffee down this morning. And let's stand and sing for a minute.
Out upon the waters, the great unknown, my feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
You hear it? The disciples, they're fighting the storm all night. It becomes 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're still fighting against the waves and the wind and the rain, and they're asking, God, where are you, and why did this happen, and when is it gonna end? Because I'm scared and I'm exhausted and I'm spinning and I need to find you. And that's why they continue to worship.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. With deep and failing fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start.
Words, I am yours and you are mine. This is worship, brothers and sisters. And they hear Jesus's voice. He comes to him. They think he's a ghost on the sea, but they hear his voice. And what does he say? He says, do not be afraid. I am. And so Peter says it. He says, call me out on the waters, Lord. If you'll tell me to come, then I'll do it. And Jesus does it. He says, come to me. Peter had a moment in his life where worship took over, and he realized that these were the hands that created the seas. These were the hands that said, Peter, come. And these were the hands that had the power to calm the seas. And so Peter had a moment of commitment where for a moment in his life, all he saw was God, and he gave himself entirely over to God. Getting out of the boat, brothers and sisters, it's all about commitment. And when we commit, there's something different about what was. There's now a what will be. And that realization that Jesus is Lord of all, just like Peter had, it leads us somewhere. It leads us to worship. That his grace abounds and we need it. That his sovereign hand will be our guide. That he is Lord over all. And the best moment comes after that, when the disciples worship and they say, truly, truly you are the Son of God. This is worship. Come on, brothers and sisters, let's pour it out this morning. Let's give God our worship. It's the first act of the week. Let's give him whatever you have. If you're a singer, then sing. If you're a hand raiser, then raise your hands. If you're a kneeler, then kneel. If you're a prayer, then pray, but give God your worship in this moment. Let's continue to sing. You know, when Peter got out of that boat and Jesus saved him, Jesus went from being a rabbi or a teacher to Lord in his life. And that's part of what worship does. Did you hear what we just sang? I realize for some of you, you go, what's the repetition all about? But I want you to think about what you've just sang, what you've just prayed. Spirit, lead me. In other words, God, I don't want to be doing the leading. You lead me. Lead me to a place where my trust is unending, that wherever you would lead me, I'd go. Isn't that worship? God, you be in charge. You be in control of my life. And whether or not I'm in a storm or on the mountaintop, God, you be the one to lead me through. And I wonder about that question for us today. Is Jesus just a teacher? Is he someone we learn about or pray to when we're having a bad day? Or is he really Lord overall? Let's give Jesus, let's give our Lord, let's give our Savior our worship this morning. Jesus, no matter the storm that we face today, keep our eyes on you. No matter whether we feel we're at the top of the mountain or down struggling in the bottom of the boat, keep our eyes fixed upon you and help us to realize it as well, that our lives are in your hands, that in you our future is secured, that in you our present circumstances are not final, and that you are the God who not only created the seas, but you are the God who calms them. And so, Lord, whatever our storms are today, help us to worship, to lift you up. And Lord, we pray that you would be Lord over all the circumstances in our lives. Lead us. Lead us not only through the storm, but lead us to yourself. We ask this in and through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. I left out one important detail about this whole storm, and a mark helps us get that detail. You know, the Gospels, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the different Gospels will share different tidbits about the same story. So in Mark chapter 6, you have the same story about the storm that we've read out of the Gospel of Matthew. And in Mark chapter 6, what we read is an important detail. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, which you knew, we've been reading that all along. But the tidbit he adds is, to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. Why is that important? Well, look at what happens at the end of the storm. It says, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. You might think, well, who cares? They survived the storm, Brian. Well, here's why I think it's important. They started the storm or getting in the boat to go to the other side, which sounds like a good joke. They started this at a place called Tabgha, and that's where the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 happened. It's essentially this little plain that's on the Sea of Galilee, and the intent was to go to Bethsaida, and Bethsaida is a home of the disciples. I bet if they ever made it to their home, some of them would have quit. And let me tell you the reason why. John the Baptist had just died. It started to get real that this whole following Jesus thing, this whole kingdom of God movement might cost you your life. And so their intended route was to go northeast to Bethsaida. And instead, what God does is spins them out in the middle of the lake for quite some time. And they end up going northwest to Gennesaret. See, they were supposed to go home, and instead, they ended up somewhere else. And let me tell you something, Gennesaret, it's not a place where you go, ooh, vacation spot. There's nothing there. There's olive trees and balsam plants. It's sort of a rough crowd, some farmers, some of the forgotten, this kind of thing. And notice what happens, the change in the disciples from before and after the storm. See, before the storm, it says, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy some food for themselves. They almost missed the miracle because they're like, Jesus, we're tired, we're done. You send the crowds away. But notice what happens after. It says, and when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Are the disciples in the way of Jesus doing ministry? Nope. Nope. Did they say, Jesus, we've been fighting the storm thing all night, right? Like, we've just gotten over it. How about a little R&R? No. There's a new level of compassion. See, the storm leads us not only to worship Christ, but the storm leads us to have compassion for other people. And this touching the hem of his garment, I don't know if you've read this other places and remember it in the scriptures. Like, there's a woman who has a disease in her blood, and she just wants to go and touch Jesus' garment. That seems weird, doesn't it? Right? Like, if I'm having a bad day, I just want to go over and touch Manthi here. He's getting a little creeped out over here. I mean, where does this come from? Well, it's from a place in the book of Malachi. And it says that the Son of Righteousness, which is a reference to the Messiah, when the Son of Righteousness comes, he'll have healing in his wings. And you're like angel wings? Or what's that all about? No, the word wing is also a word that we would translate corner. And it's a word that you would know as hem, like hem of garment. And so when Jesus comes and he's doing all these miraculous things and people begin to hear about it and seas are calmed, and he lands at Gennesaret, which is nowhere. Everybody wants to come and just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Why? Because they believe. They believe he's the Messiah. They believe he's Lord. They've come to worship him. They've come to put their trust in him. And the disciples realize on the sea that he is Lord, that he was worthy of worship, that he's the Son of God. And had they not come to that realization, I bet they wouldn't have gone to Gennesaret to hang out with the forgotten. Storms, brothers and sisters, give us compassion that we never had. No longer would the disciples be in the way of Jesus ministering. No longer would they be the ones to say, Lord, it's been a long day. Send them home. I'm done. They worship Jesus as the Son of God, and they wanted other people to have the same experience as they did. And the beauty of storms is that the final and greatest outcome of grace we're given when a storm hits is not only do we worship Christ, but wow, do we have newfound compassion for other people. The world is so, so much in need of compassion. I don't understand what it is about our culture that loves to celebrate other people's failures. And I've wondered if maybe it's the fact that we're all in some kind of storm, and if somebody hurts more than we do for a moment, then we can take emphasis or focus off of our own storm. And so rather than move through, rather than leave, rather than trust Jesus' lordship, we just go, man, look at that poor bloke. They're worse than me. And the irony is, like, I don't find anywhere in the Bible Jesus saying, this is the top 10 sins and don't be sure to not commit number one. Or like, if you're in this storm, it's worse than that storm. I don't see anything like that at all. When you have a storm, when you've been through it, man, you'll have new compassion for other people. This is what I love about our Celebrate Recovery ministry. People who all realize they're in some kind of storm, and whether it's a hurt or a habit or a hang-up, there's a storm in their own life, and you know what? There's other people around them that have a storm as well, and hey, let's walk together. Step one, right? You need to have community. Let's find some clarity over the storm. Let's have some commitment. And on the other side, you'll not only have worship of Christ, but a newfound compassion. In the end, 2017 was my storm. And whether it's my GERD stuff or watching some of our staff, our leaders, or other people I love get beat up on by the devil or whoever else, it was quite a year. You know, out of this series, I wrote it probably September, October-ish, and I wondered, as I do with all things, how does it end? Right? How does it end? And here's what I figured out. It's not much, but we'll go on it today. I'm humbled to be your pastor because in the end, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who has his own fears, his own insecurities, his own hurts, his own challenges, his own stuff from umpteen years ago that I wish I wouldn't have done anybody else there. And for months, I sat up in a chair at night with all kinds of questions. And what made it worse is I knew some of the answers, which gave me even worse questions to ask. But in the end, I'm glad that it happened. Because it gave me a softer heart for all of you. And I've realized that I can't change you. Man, I want to. And I'm sure you want to change me. And I've realized I can't make this church grow. I can't give you perfect teaching that will lead you right to the gates of heaven. But I will love you. And I will pray that God will lead you. And I will do my best to lead us away from Bethsaida, where it's comfortable and feels like home, to Gennesaret. And I will keep pointing you to Jesus because he's the Lord. And here's my hope. My hope is in the midst of your storm, you'll seek community. And you'll find clarity. And you'll have a moment of commitment. And on the other side of the storm, you'll get and have what you need most. And that's compassion for other people. Because in this broken world, with broken people, maybe that's what's needed most. And maybe, while God didn't cause the storm, maybe that's the way he uses it to change the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our storms. They don't feel good. We hurt. We struggle. We wonder why and when and what to do. But we know that somewhere in our storms, you're present. And you long for us to get out of the boat, to not be alone, to find clarity, to gain compassion. Lord, we thank you that you're leading us somewhere. And that somewhere is to yourself. To be Lord in our lives, to be Lord over this creation, to change us and heal us, and to do the very same for the life of the world. So God, today, this morning, in this time and place of worship, we hand ourselves over to you. We recognize our own need, our own struggle, our own sins, our own fears and insecurities. And we thank you that you have come. You've come to be Lord over all of them. We thank you that you died and you rose again to forgive us and heal us and grant us new life. And Jesus, we place our faith and our trust in you as Lord over all of our life. Be at work in us. Be Savior. Be healer. Be Lord. We make our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm looking forward to the next series. Have a great week. Be the revolution.